Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 8 July 2026, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're in the middle of a war. All of us. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. A couple of updates on the MP3 classes. The Las Ventanas Psalm 23 report for 1 July 2026. Nancy is still on room rest and needs prayers to get better. Joyce fell, and we don't know if she's hurt badly or not. She would love your prayers. We had Linda and Donna, so we went ahead and started singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. One of the residents rolled by and gave us a thumbs up. And as I was closing the doors to start the Bible class, he was right there, so I invited him in. Hey, a male with all women there. His name is Bill, and the other two ladies were friends of his. We started the second half of Lesson 11, so I opened in prayer, and Pastor started teaching at the famous Not to Worry passage in Matthew 6:24. He went on to teach more about logistical grace and the fact that grace gives you the ability to live one day at a time and to live each day as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The class ended with Romans 8:31 and the beginning of the a fortiori rationale of logistical grace. He taught us that if God did the most for us when we were his enemy, how much more, a fortiori, how much more he will graciously do for us now that we are royal family of God. Bill wanted to know if he could bring his own Bible next week, and he asked the ladies to remind him of the Bible class. He took a gospel booklet. They all thanked us for the class. And Bill thought it was funny that Pastor Olson was teaching from a pumpkin, the little pumpkin, otherwise known as a wireless speaker. See? So now you know I'm a pumpkin. which does happen to be round and red. Thank you for your continued prayers. Please pray that these residents will have the health and the assistance they need to get to class. With great appreciation, Daria. And then the update on Valencia Heaven Special Report, 2 July 2026. We started with the second half of Lesson 5. We had Bob and Charlie. Pastor picked up where Paul was in heaven, and he was commanded when he came back not to say anything that he saw there. Now, when God tells the Apostle Paul, don't say anything that you when you go back what you saw there, then that's true for all, obviously everybody else. God still had a plan for Paul for several more years. Paul was happy to come back because it was necessary for him to finish his mission that God gave to him. However, Paul looked forward to going to heaven permanently. Amen. Pastor also talked about the people who write books and who do talk shows about them dying and going to heaven. And then when they come back, they give their heavenly account of everything they saw. I don't think so. They were all obviously false testimonies. After the class, Bob and Charlie and I talked about heaven with Bob and Charlie. Both Bob and Charlie said they are not afraid to die. And Charlie looked at me and said, "This Bible class is so beautiful." I told him, "I know. And just wait till we get to see what heaven is really like. A beauty we can't even imagine today." Both Charlie and Bob told me they enjoyed coming to the class. Thank you all for your prayers for the Valencia MP3 class, Jerry Cahoon. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We are in the middle of the greatest war ever. Not a visible war. There have been a lot of great visible wars. But the one that every member of the royal family of God is in is an invisible war. And it goes 24/7. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh," that is, we live our life in a human body with its limitations, "we absolutely do not fight this spiritual war according to the flesh." Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare," this angelic conflict we find ourselves in, "absolutely are not human weapons, but by the agency of the power of God," divine power, "for the purpose of the destruction of Satan's fortifications." Verse 5, "assaulting and demolishing cosmic systems of thought and every obstacle of arrogance raised up in opposition against the knowledge," the gnosis, "of God, and making a prisoner of every thought," every system of thought, "for the goal," the objective, "of obedience to Christ," obedience to the mind of Christ, the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Now all of us, every believer in the church age, We are in a spiritual warfare. We are living in the time of the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Intensified. In the Old Testament, Satan attacked the line of Christ all the way through the Old Testament. He attacked the line of Christ, line of Christ, line of Christ. And then with the incarnation and virgin birth, he attacked Christ himself. But following his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session, Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in the place of honor. But the body of Christ is being formed right here on earth. The royal family of God. Now, Satan's attack, for the first time in all of human history, now Satan's attack is on every one of you, all of you, every church-age believer. It's on the body of Christ that never occurred before in human history. We are in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. This is a spiritual war. So you must take the offensive with spiritual weapons to demolish satanic systems of thought. This spiritual warfare, of course, is described by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. We ended about that time last time, so let's start with Ephesians 6 tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. God's power. God's grace and God's power. Put on the full armor of God. And the full armor of God, these are the weapons that go on, and these go on in your soul, in your heart. Not in your body, even though it's described here as put on the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Well, you're not going to put it around your waist. It goes right in here. And the word for truth is aletheia. The absolute truth of the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart. That's the belt. It's the belt of aletheia. The belt of the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart. So the full armor of God goes on in your heart. So that you can take your stand against the devil's strategies. He has lots of strategies to make you a casualty. Are you going to be a casualty in the angelic conflict? Or are you going to be a great victor? It depends on the decisions you make from your own free will. For our struggle, our war, is not against flesh and blood. It's not a visible war. But against the ruling demons, against demons in authority, against the powers of this dark world, world-ruling demons, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have accomplished everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, buckled around your waist, not around your waist. The waist here is in up here in your heart. That's where you have it. The belt of aletheia, buckled around your waist with, when you have the maximum amount of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart, guess what comes next? The breastplate of grace righteousness. You've attained spiritual maturity. You're a grace-righteous believer. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, reconciliation. And in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, the faith rest life, with which you can extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? It is the Rhema, not the Logos, the Rhema, the communicated word of God. So this is a spiritual war. We're in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. For the first time in all of human history, the attack is on you and you and you and me, every member of the body of Christ. The great counterattack of Satan occurs in stage 3 of grace perspicacity. We have it here in our verse with the word gnosis. G-N-long-O-S-I-S. Gnosis. And this is the word for knowledge. And this refers to the most vulnerable place in your life as a member of the royal family of God in grace perspicacity. And that's right here. See that? That's our word, gnosis. This is grace perspicacity. It's the grace way, the grace and power of God to get the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, into the target, and the target is right there, cardia. That's the target for the Word of God. The cardia. To get maximum aletheia, absolute truth of the Word of God in your cardia. But that's stage 4. In grace perspicacity, there's 4 stages. And number 1 is the spiritual gift of pastor teacher who has been trained and equipped, a sound doctrinal teacher who teaches the Word of God eisegagically. The Bible must be interpreted in the time in which it is written, eisegagically, categorically, doctrinally, exegetically, word by word, verse by verse, line upon line, exegetically. And as the pastor teacher does that, he teaches the Logos of the Word. Then God the Holy Spirit takes that communication of the pastor and teaches your human spirit, and now that Logos becomes pneumatikos, spiritual phenomena. That's stage 2 of grace perspicacity. And then it comes down to stage 3, the nous, the mind, as gnosis doctrine. But gnosis doctrine, you can't do anything with gnosis doctrine. You can't apply it skillfully or accurately to your life. Impossible. You can never do that until there is positive volition. Positive volition. Faith. You must believe the Word of God. Believe it. And when you believe it, then it goes to stage 4. It goes into your heart. And now it's epinosis doctrine. Completed knowledge. Full knowledge. And now, by the filling of the Holy Spirit, you can take that epinosis doctrine and apply it to your life skillfully and accurately against all of Satan's strategies to make you a casualty in the angelic conflict. But that's the key right there. You have to have the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, maximum amount in your heart. And then through the power of God the Holy Spirit, then you can apply it to the angelic, to the intensified stage of the angelic conflict and be a winner in the angelic conflict, a victor. And I pray for all of you. I pray for all of you that you will be victors in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. We have a lot of Christians in America. Unfortunately, most of them are casualties already. They're total casualties in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. So the great counterattack of Satan occurs in stage three of grace perspicacity. Stage three of grace perspicacity is when you have gnosis doctrine in the mind, the nous, the left lobe. But gnosis doctrine cannot be applied skillfully and accurately to your life until you believe it. Positive volition, faith. You must believe it. At the point of positive volition and faith, gnosis doctrine in the nous, the left lobe, the mind, becomes epinosis doctrine in the cardia, the target for the Word of God, the heart, the right lobe. Epinosis doctrine is complete knowledge, full knowledge, that now, through the power of the filling of the Spirit, now it can be applied skillfully and accurately to your life in the middle of this intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And you will defeat Satan's strategies to make you a casualty. Now in the next phrase, we have the MO of how you stave off Satan's counterattack. And one of the key words here in verse 5 is eich malo tidzo. Eich malo tidzo. Looks like that in the Greek, A-I-C-H-M-A-L, long O, T-I-Z, long O. Eich malo tidzo. It's a military term, and it means to capture in war. Eich malo tidzo means to make a prisoner of. To stave off Satan's counteroffensive, we must make a prisoner of pon noema, every thought, every system of thought. When you make a prisoner of every thought, now you have staved off Satan's counteroffensive. Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his cardia, but in the Hebrew, in his lave. As a man thinks in his lave, his heart, so is he. And then we have a prepositional phrase that Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 228, tells us, ace plus the accusative, that in our verse it introduces and indicates the goal. The objective. The objective or goal is to make a prisoner of every thought. And then we have tain hupakoein to Christu hupakoe, obedience, objective genitive of Christos, obedience to Christ. Hupakoe, great word. H-U-P-A-K-O long E. Hupakoe. Hupakoe is the noun that comes from the verb hupakuo. And hupakuo is a compound word made up of the preposition hupa, which is under, and akuo, to listen. So literally the verb hupakuo means to listen under authority. In this case, to listen under spiritual authority. To hear the word of God being taught under spiritual authority. Hupakuo therefore means to obey that authority, to follow that authority, to be subordinate to that spiritual authority. Thus, the noun hupakoe means obedience. And then the objective genitive of Christos. This is obedience to Christ. This is accomplished by getting a maximum amount of aletheia, the mind of Christ, the absolute truth of the Word of God, into your heart, cardia. This is stage 4 of grace perspicacity. This is maximum epinosis doctrine in your heart. And that brought us to the doctrine of mental attitude. The doctrine of mental attitude. And we just barely got started. And last week I wasn't here, so it was 2 weeks ago. We just barely got started, but we're going to get going tonight. Point 1 was definition and description, and we just got the first 5 points on under definition and description of the doctrine of mental attitude. Point 1, mental attitude is the function of human thought. Your mental attitude is what you think at any given time. 2, thinking is the battlefield of your soul. 3, the life of every believer is in his mental attitude. 4, the life of every believer is determined experientially by 2 principles. First of all, what he thinks. What he thinks. And secondly, what he decides. You have a volition to make good decisions or bad decisions. And that's what we're doing here from that time that we place our faith in Christ until physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first. We're here to make decisions. What kind of decisions are you making? Are you making good decisions or are you making bad decisions? Point 5, divine viewpoint, mental attitude is part of the greatest delegation of divine power in all of human history. Divine viewpoint, mental attitude is part of the greatest delegation of divine power in all of human history. What you think is more important than anything else in life. But so many believers are struggling through life as mindless losers. Sad to say, but that's exactly what's going on. Mindless losers. And that includes 90% of the Christians in this country. Mindless losers. What counts is the power of divine viewpoint, epinosis doctrine in your heart, aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 18. Now, Paul starts out here. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart. Now, we got two sets of eyes. We have physical eyes. And you notice I wear glasses till I get up here and I take them off because I'm nearsighted. Most people, when they get old, they have to get glasses to read things up close. I have to take my glasses off to read. I only have to put my glasses on when I'm driving my car because I want to see who I'm going to hit out there. So that's the only time I need to put my glasses on. But otherwise, I take my glasses, all my studies with the glasses off, and you can see I glasses off. The most important eyes that you have are the eyes of your heart. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power. What is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. That's the power God has given to us in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, the church age. This is the only dispensation in human history where every single believer at salvation is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. We're indwelt by God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, to be empowered by the Spirit, to live our life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Not our human power, not our human ability, not our human talent, but to live our life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. That's a mandate for all of us. That's spiritual skill number one. God's power, not your power. You must have God's power. And that power that raised Christ from the dead, resurrection of Christ, is the same power you have as the being indwelt and filled with the Spirit to live the unique spiritual life of the church age and to be a victor in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. But you must be using God's power, the power of God the Holy Spirit. So what counts is the power of divine viewpoint. Epinosis doctrine in the heart. Absolute truth of aletheia in your heart. And the power of God the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, is the power for you to be victorious in the angelic conflict. The average believer does not even know anything about God's superior power. Sad to say, but they don't. And how God has delegated it to us as royal family. Turn over to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Verse 12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. Alive and powerful. Sharper than any Machaira, the super weapon of the Roman military. Sharper than any machaira, any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to be a critic of the thoughts and motivations of the heart. God has given us divine power to defeat Satan's strategies and be victors in this spiritual war we find ourselves in. Today we have a lot of mindless emotional activity rather than doctrinal thinking. There is very little divine viewpoint being thought today. And no one can do divine viewpoint thinking for you. The delegation of superior power comes in the form of thinking. Thinking aletheia. The absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart. The belt of truth aletheia in your heart. This system of thought called aletheia, absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures, produces a mental attitude, divine viewpoint thinking. Now you're thinking divine viewpoint, the mind of Christ. The Word of God is called the Word of God, the mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit. The mind of Christ is the thinking of Christ. And when you have the Word of God, aletheia in your heart, you now have the thinking of Christ. Divine viewpoint is the thinking of Christ in your heart from the content of the infallible Word of God. 6. What you really are as a person is what you really think. What you really are as a person is what you really think. Not what you appear to be on the surface, on the outside. Not the way you are dressed or groomed. What you really are as a person is what you think. 7. The real you is the thought content of your soul. That's the real you. What is the thought content of your soul? Are you thinking divine viewpoint? The thinking of Christ? The mind of Christ? The aletheia, the absolute truth of the mind of Christ, the Word of God in your heart? For as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. The soul is the place where you think, or where you do not think. Hence, what you really are is what you think. Principle. Personality is not the real person. Thought is. Personality is not the real person. Thought is. 8. Bible doctrine is the thinking of the mind of Christ. It's the thinking of the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Word of God, the mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit, the mind of Christ is the thinking of Christ. The Word of God is the thinking of Christ. And when you learn and believe the aletheia, the absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures, now you have the thinking of Christ in your heart. Bible doctrine is the thinking of the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. 9, the delegation of divine power to every church-age believer includes God the Holy Spirit to be empowered by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And secondly, the power of the God-breathed Scriptures. Getting maximum aletheia in your heart. So the delegation of divine power for us in this spiritual war, in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, is God the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, the mind of Christ. 10, the delegation of divine power includes the content of thought. First of all, the content of thought, maximum aletheia, absolute truth of God's Word in your heart. So the delegation of divine power includes, one, the content of thought, maximum aletheia in your heart. It includes, two, the communication of this thought through the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. The communication of this thought through the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And there are a lot of Christians out there that just want to read the Bible and grow up. You can read the Bible until, let's say you could live 1,000,000 years old. You could read the Bible for 1,000,000 years, and what you would learn from what you read, I could put in a thimble. Nothing! And there's a lot of Christians, that's all they do. They just read the Bible on their own and they think they're really hotsy-totsy and moving out and learned a lot. They haven't learned anything, absolutely nothing. If you could do that, there would be no spiritual gift to pastor-teacher, none. God would just tell you all, give a mandate, read the Bible on your own and become a winner believer. What verse do you find that? Where do you find that? Show me the verse that says that. Read the Bible on your own and become a winner believer. Nowhere in the Bible. If that were true, there would be no pastor teacher. There would be no spiritual gift to pastor teacher. But God has provided a spiritual gift, an under shepherd. One in the church age who is the gift of poimen didaskalos, poimen shepherd, didaskalos teacher, pastor teacher. Now that there are a lot of pastors out there that you couldn't learn anything from them, fill a thimble either. That pastor teacher has to prepare for the ministry. And that's getting harder and harder to do today because we're living in darkness. In America, we're the clan nation of God, but we're living in darkness. And there's almost no place where you can go with the gift of pastor teacher and prepare for the ministry. Almost none. And as a result, we have men who have the gift. They're not prepared for the ministry. They do not know the original languages. They do not know Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic. They don't study from the original languages. And I do. Every day I do. Whether it's Tuesday night in Zechariah and Hebrew, I work through every single word, every word in the Hebrew. And in the classes in the New Testament, every word of the Koine Greek. Not classical Greek. It's not classical Greek. It's the Greek of the common man, Koine Greek. And when you prepare for the ministry, then God will promote you and give you a flock of His sheep. You're the Lord's sheep. You're not my sheep. You're the Lord's sheep. And the Lord has given a mandate to all of us communicators. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. And I love my Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's why I'm here. I'm here except for when I tore my hamstring. And if you've never torn your hamstring, you ought to try it sometime. It's really a fun thing to go through. You tear the hamstring. I kept telling Deb, no matter where I'm sitting, it's like I got a ball right up against my butt, a ball. And she started looking up torn hamstrings. She goes, oh, yeah, well, you got a torn hamstring, all right. Says that you get a ball right up at the base of your butt. And so I went to the office of the doctor who's going to do my knee replacement, and I said, I think I have a torn hamstring. It is so painful. My whole hamstring is getting more painful. But sitting down, I cannot sit. I can't sit to drive my car. I can't sit to study. I can't sit at all. So they did some ultrasound on it, and she goes, "Oh yeah." Oh, wow, you got a big ball of fluid right up there at the top of your hamstring where it attaches to your butt. She didn't say butt, but anyway. And she says, yeah, you definitely tore your hamstring. This is what happens when you do it. Now you got several things you can do. You can go ahead and go see somebody, do an MRI and then surgery and all this stuff. Or we can do the PRP. I said, okay, well, let's do the PRP. That sounds great. So they got some blood, two big canisters. They were about that big around and about that long, filled up with blood, two of them. Put it in a centrifuge, got all the plasma out. Then they got the plasma, and she came and she injected it in my hamstring, right in my hamstring, in the hamstring and in the muscles around it, in my butt. She says, can you feel that? Yes, I can. No. And then after she did all that and put those two big deals of plasma in there, she says, okay, now laser, we're going to laser. You got 12 times of being lasered. I said, okay, where at? Same place. So I'm in the process. I've had 4 laser sessions now. I'm going to have laser tomorrow and laser Friday. Then, since I'm going in to have my knee replaced on Tuesday, they're going to wait till they get that done, and then they do the same thing with my knee. PRP treatment, they have to get more blood, centrifuge, inject the plasma, and 12 sessions of laser on that too. This is state of the art, by the way. This is state of the art. There's a lot of doctors out there do this knee replacement, but this is state of the art. They're ahead of the curve and everything. So, in fact, I'm actually standing on my right leg straight up in it. That's just laser session number 4. Now, I don't know how I got on that. But there's no extra charge. So the delegation of divine power includes, now I know where I got the number one, the content of thought, maximum aletheia in your heart. Number two, the communication of this thought through the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And three, the concentration of the believer on God's word as it's being taught by the pastor-teacher. So the delegation of divine power includes the content of thought, maximum aletheia in the heart. Second, communication of this thought through the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Third, the concentration of the believer on God's word as it's being taught by the pastor-teacher. Principle, concentration really is a matter of your personal priorities. You have to establish your own priorities. Concentration on the teaching of the Word of God reflects four things. One, the values that you have in your life. Two, your motivation in life. Third, your mental attitude in life. Four, your spiritual status, quo in life. So concentration is a matter of your personal priorities. You all establish your own priorities. I don't do it for you. You establish your own. Concentration on the teaching of the Word of God reflects four things in your life. The values in your life, your motivation in life, your mental attitude in life, and your spiritual status quo in life. 11. A thought or a lack of thought can make or break you at any given moment. A thought or lack of thought can make or break you at any given moment, depending on whether your thought is human viewpoint garbage or divine viewpoint aletheia. A thought or lack of thought can make or break you at any given moment, depending on whether your thought is human viewpoint garbage or divine viewpoint, the aletheia, absolute truth of God's Word. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something, and there are a lot of Christians out there that they think they're the cat's meow. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So not only is a thought or lack of thought can make or break you at any given moment, but furthermore, your thinking can also make or break the client nation to God, the United States of America. 12. The difference between living in Satan's cosmic system and advancing to spiritual maturity depends on the thought in your soul. The difference between living in Satan's cosmic system and advancing to spiritual maturity depends on the thought, the thinking in your soul. 13. This thinking falls into two categories for the believer. This thinking falls into two categories for the believer. Divine viewpoint or human viewpoint. Divine viewpoint from Aletheia, the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures in your heart, or human viewpoint garbage from living out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So thinking falls into two categories for the believer. Divine viewpoint, human viewpoint. 14. Human viewpoint is the thinking of the believer who has either rejected the Word of God or neglected the Word of God. And we have both categories of believers in America. Those who reject the absolute truth of the Word of God and those who simply neglect it because they have too many other things that are more important than that. Therefore, it is the thinking of the carnal, reversionistic believer. 15. This is why Scripture emphasizes the fact that God goes to war with the arrogant believer, but He gives grace to the humble believer. This is why Scripture emphasizes the fact that God goes to war with the arrogant believer, but He gives grace to the humble believer. Turn over to James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 6. That is why Scripture declares God goes to war with the arrogant, but He gives grace to the humble. James 4, 6. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5 verse 5. Young men. This doesn't just include men. This includes the students in the congregation. You students in the congregation. In the same way, be subordinate to the authority of your pastor teacher. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God goes to war with the arrogant, but He gives grace to the humble. 16. The thinking of the spiritually mature believer is different from the generally accepted thought patterns of the world. The thinking of the spiritually mature believer is different from the generally accepted thought patterns of the world. And therefore, the spiritually mature believer is set apart as unique. Boy, that winner believer in America, they are so unique in our nation because they are totally set apart. They have a different thinking, divine viewpoint thinking. The thinking of the spiritually mature believer is different from the generally accepted thought patterns of the world, and therefore the spiritually mature believer is set apart as unique, and the uniqueness is reflected in his thinking, his thought, his actions, and the manifestation of the royal family honor code in his life. His uniqueness is reflected in his thought, his thinking, in his actions, and in the manifestation of the royal family honor code in his life. 17, the greatest battle we have in life is the battle that takes place in your soul, in your thinking. The content of your thinking is the most important thing about you. The greatest battle we have in life is the battle of the soul. Are you thinking divine viewpoint, or are you thinking human viewpoint garbage? Obviously, you look around in America, there's a lot of human viewpoint garbage among the unbelievers, but sad to say, there's also a lot of human viewpoint garbage among believers. Well, that's point one of the doctrine of mental attitude. Hoo-ah! All right. Well, I don't know if I'll be here next week after surgery. We'll just take it one day at a time. Who knows? I might be in heaven. And then when I get up there to heaven, I'm going to look down at you and go, na-na-na-na. No, not really. I might be back and new knee and have a jiffy knee, lubed up, ready to go. When I get the other one done too, like I said, then I can kick all of you in the butt. That right now I can't catch up to you. But Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.